And I, brethren,
when
I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Verse 2 again.
For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified.
All that I'll be saying today surround that thought, that truth of Christianity. I will not be adding to that truth. I'll just be making sure that we understand the implication of Paul not wanting to know anything among the Christian, and of course, not just the Christian at Corinth, but everywhere, nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. An important fact for us to ever keep in mind is that the way the greater number of humanity world over, men and women celebrate Christmas and Easter, is almost completely opposite the essence and the meaning that heaven attached to Jesus' birth and Jesus' death. I repeat, the way the world over celebrate Christ's death, Christ's birth, and Christ's death is almost completely opposite the meaning and the essence that heaven placed on those two great events. The birth of Jesus Christ celebrated at what we call Christmas, and the death of Christ celebrated at Easter, carry divine, eternal, spiritual meaning, spiritual message, and spiritual significance. There are things that happen at Christ coming to this earth that happen no other time since man have been hearing about God. When Jesus Christ said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? The meaning and sentiment coming out of Jesus' statement there, that has never occurred, expressed by any of the person in the Godhead at any time before or after. That is, for Christ at this particular time in the process of redeeming man, for Jesus Christ to have felt forsaken by his Father, It tells us a lot about the awesomeness of Jesus' coming. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Remember, there is one God comprised of three persons. Let me turn that around. There is ever one true God. The Bible talks about the Godhead, and that is used like we use the word manhood or womanhood. But in the Godhead, there are three persons who carries out the divine responsibility, not as three God, but as one, because there is in fact one God. And that one Godhood, Godhead, comes to us in the Father, in the Son, and in the Holy Spirit. Read the entire Bible, Genesis to Revelation, and there has not been another time when any of the person in the Godhead felt abandoned, forsaken. But man's salvation in Christ, paying the price for man's salvation, that feeling was felt. My God, why have you forsaken me? For one thing, it was during the process of Christ dying. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it is sin that brings forth death. Wherever you see death, it is all about sin. That's right. I've often pointed out that had there been no sin, there would be no death. And when Jesus Christ took upon himself to die for our sin, it brought a reality where it's like God had to separate himself from that. At least that's the feeling Christ had. Christ knew that he was not alone, but he felt alone. There has not been moments like that since creation, when one of the persons in the Godhead have that feeling of abandonment. When the Bible tells us that God made Jesus Christ sin for us, those are loaded statements. Wait. Don't ever read in that God made Christ to commit sin for us. That's not what the passage says, and it doesn't mean that. God made him to be, not to commit, but to be sin for us. And that is the whole point where Jesus Christ took upon us, took upon himself rather, our sin. When Jesus Christ died at Calvary, men claim to be celebrating Christ's crucifixion now. But the way it's done, It's far from it. But when Christ died at Calvary, he represents sin, because sin is always associated with death. And I repeat what I said previously, that wherever you see death, it's telling you about sin. When Christ died, that was saying it is our sin. When he stretched out there, that represents sin. But it was not Christ's sin, it's your sin, my sin. The world has never seen something like that before. When Paul to the Corinthians, and we're going to put that in context. For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. The Corinthians were bringing some things in their Christianity to confuse, to erode, and to muddy the water. There are some things that look okay to man, but only contaminate God's pure method of saving man. Paul wanted the Corinthians to understand that Jesus Christ needs no complement, no supplement. And we must understand that too. You cannot bring in. In fact, a lot of times we act like we are helping God out. And a lot of times that's the way it seems to us, truly. God doesn't need any help other than the guidance he gives us in the gospel to do these things, live this way, believe this. But a lot of times we get carried away, and the Corinthians, like men and women today, got carried away. And hence the statement, I don't want to hear anything among you save Jesus Christ and his crucifixion. The ignorance of the ungodly world, then as well as now, but more so now, sees that is ungodly men and women see this season as the time to celebrate Jesus' crucifixion. When December comes around, we celebrate his birth. I may just drop by here that you ought to note that the emphasis we place on Christmas and Easter, one, you must remember, none of those words occur in the Bible. You must remember that. The word Easter, if you see it in the book of Acts of the Apostles, is it chapter 12, 4? It is a mistranslation. In fact, as we have pointed out, it is the word Passover, and that was referring to the Jewish Passover. Acts 12. 1 through 4. That's the word Easter is a mistranslation there. It shouldn't be there. Now, Christmas occurs nowhere in the Bible, and as I've said, Easter too. Because in more modern, authentic translation, you will not find the word Easter, because the word Passover, that should be there referring to the Jewish Passover. But as I've said, the world now, as they see the way to celebrate Christ's birth and Christ's death, they see this time as the time of selling, those who have things to sell, buying, those who want things to buy, and those who are told what you should buy at this time in the year. So that's the way, not only in the selling and the buying, but also in satisfying our various desires, physical or secular desire. That's the way Easter and Christmas is celebrated. Brothers and sisters, that is as country people would say, for. That is as far from God's idea of Christ's birth and Christ's death as Satan is from Christ. That is, we're the merchant and the business people are the one who put the temple on Christmas and Easter. And we fit right in. As I've said, those who have things to sell, they tell you what to buy at Christmas, what you need. When it comes to Easter, you know, okay, I like Easter bun, but I know it has nothing to do with Christ's death. That's right. And if we are not careful, we are so drawn in thinking that there is a religiousness in this secular and physical festivity that we have. No, that is not God's idea of Christ's birth or Christ's death. Jesus' birth and death was never meant to have the physical and the secular as its focus. Putting the emphasis on secular things, physical things, that was never God's idea in bringing Christ to be born in this world and in permitting Jesus Christ to die at Calvary for our sin. Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, was motivated, he was driven, he was encouraged, he was directed by Jesus Christ and Calvary. Hence, I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Look. That is chapter 2, verse 2. Look at chapter 1, 22 and 24. Galatians. Somebody have Corinthians rather. Somebody have Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. Let us hear it. That is chapter 1, verse 22. And I've just quoted, and that was also read, chapter 2, verse 2. For I am determined not to know. There are a lot of things Paul wants to know. But here he's telling you something that he doesn't want to hear or to know. And you see, that is coming from what he heard about going on at Corinth. And we're going to come to that. He heard some things. He's telling the Corinthians, in effect, I don't want to hear any more of those type of things. So let us hear chapter 1, verse 22 through 24.
For the Jews require a sign.
The Jews require a sign.
And the Greeks seek after wisdom.
And the Greeks seek after wisdom. Wait. Sign is referring to miracle. And you'd think that Paul would be excited over miracle. Paul praised wisdom, but he didn't praise the wisdom of man. He praised the wisdom of God. The Jews seek for a sign. They want miracle. What's wrong with that, Paul? The Greeks seek after wisdom. What's wrong with that, Paul? Read, brother.
But we preach Christ.
You see, the but introduced the contrast. It's like he's putting miracle and wisdom one side. What do we seek?
But we preach Christ crucified.
Christ, it is Christ crucified again. Read.
Unto the Jews.
Unto the Jews, it is a stumbling.
A stumbling block.
Unto the Greek, it is foolish. Nes, but unto the saved man or woman, it is the
power of God. And the wisdom of God.
Wait. Notice how he beamed the light on this great event of Christ. Christ crucifixion always. Everything else must be pushed one side. What verse you start?
Verse 24. End of verse 24.
Thank you. Turn to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, I think. Let us hear it.
But God forbid. That I should glory. Save in the cross of our Lord Jesus
Christ.
Here
again, it's about Jesus' death and the instrument of his death, the cross. For I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. If there is an Easter, if there were an Easter, it is about Christ at Calvary. And that's what Paul wants the Corinthians to understand. It is to be noticed in chapter 2 and verse 2, for I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. As I pointed out, it is to be noticed that there are some things that Paul didn't want to know or to hear. It's easy for us to just let that run through one ear and pass through the other. For I am determined not to know. What is that? I thought Paul wanted to know everything. Well, all the constructive things he wanted to know. For I am determined not to know anything. Christian, I want you to keep this heaven reality in mind. That is Jesus Christ's death at Calvary. But we need to put chapter 2, verse 2 that I've just quoted in context and in proper perspective. To do that, we need to go back to chapter 1, verse 11 through verse 13. That is to understand better what he's talking about in chapter 2, verse 2. For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul, you don't want to hear anything but Christ's crucifixion and death? Yes, of course, that would include all that pertaineth to his death, burial, and resurrection. That's what Paul wants to know. And that is in reference to their relationship with Christ, in reference to they being Christian, in reference to they being followers of Christ. Paul is telling them, don't confuse yourself. Watch out what you bring in your Christianity as a part of your Christianity. Be careful. So as I've said, to understand that, we now look at chapter 1, verse 11, 12, and 13. Read.
For it hath been declared unto me of you.
That means I heard. You see, and Paul knew that what he was hearing was not good for the church, for the Christian, or for Christianity. For it had been declared
unto me of you.
Of you, that is the you they're referring to, the Christian.
My brethren. By them which are of the house of Chloe.
I've always liked how Paul, you don't bring mischief to Paul. You know, people will bring mischief to you and say, no, call my name, you know. Whenever a person tell you that, let your antenna go up, because that person might be bringing some gossip, some mischief, some lies, half-truth, half-lies. We should be able to stand up to the things that we see. So Paul up front. Now, clear. And whoever else, they did not, when they wrote Paul, telling Paul what was going on in the church at Corinth, and they were part of the church, they did not ask Paul not to call their name. No, they just wrote giving him some information. But up front, Paul told the church from whom he got the information. Very good. Read.
That there are contentions among you. Now this I say.
This is what I mean.
That every one of you say.
Wait. The word contention here carries from context the idea of division. That's definitely what was division. It's not necessary that they were, you see, the way we use contention. It's not used where people are quarreling. It's not so much that they were quarreling. It's they were dividing themselves. Denominationalism was getting started. Religious division, that's right. It's among the first place it got started. This is what I mean.
That every one of you saith, I am of Paul.
I am of Paul.
And I of Apollos.
And I of Apollos.
And I of Cephas.
And I of Cephas.
And I of Christ.
And I of Christ.
Is Christ divided?
Ladies and gentlemen, you remember why we are at chapter 1 here? Verse 11, 12, and 13, we are here to put chapter 2, verse 2 in context. When Paul in chapter 2, verse 2 spoke about, I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified, it was as a result of what was happening here at Corinth, some of which he's told us in these three verses of chapter 1. Where they were using personality. They were using man-made names and personality to start denominationalism, various church. Somebody asked Rastafari not to do any work around here. Now I told you. Yes. They were using these man-made names and personality to form group. I belong to Paul. Well, my God, Paul was a righteous, holy man. No, I don't want to hear my name as a part of any grouping. You see, Cephas, that is Peter. Well, Peter would have told you the same thing. You see, brothers and sisters, watch here, watch here. To the Corinthians, that look innocent. In fact, it looked like it would enhance Christianity. Paul started the church at Corinth. So I told the Corinthians, you are my work in the Lord. But Paul knew the danger of any group grouping themselves based on his name or based on their likeness for him. What's wrong with that? It draws the attention from Jesus Christ and Christianity. And look here, anything that does that become a problem for God. Wait, may I? If man is going to be saved, he's going to be saved God's way. One way. And you know what? That statement, when you take into consideration all that it implies, I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Bring in. Any religious person name, John the Baptist, bring in any religious name, Pentecostal, you mentioned, bring in Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. Any one of them you bring in Christianity, it takes away from Christ and the pure gospel. So this is what Paul meant when he's, I am determined what he's saying. I don't want you. In fact, it's not so much Paul want or not want. It's what will contaminate Christianity. You bring in any of these in. Remember, Paul is there, you know. Look at verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12.
Now this I say.
This I say.
That every one of you saith, I am of Paul.
Watch here. There is a church of St. Paul. Read.
And I of Apollos.
And I of Apollos. There is an Apollos church.
And I of Cephas.
There is a Peter church.
And I of Christ.
That's the one, that's the only one that have a legitimacy there. Did you know that? But Brother Mitchell, it's part of the division. No. When they became Christian as followers of Christ. And even the question that is asked in verse 13, imply that those who remain as Christ followers instead of Paul, Peter followers, you are right. Listen to the question in verse 13.
Is Christ divided?
Is Christ divided? Wait. Brothers and sisters, For I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Watch here, watch here. If you are going to put a name to identify the body of Christ, it must be that which brings glory to Jesus Christ. That's right. Whenever you name a church after me, you are in trouble. You name it after Paul, you are in trouble with God. You name it after John the Baptist, you are in trouble with God. You name it after the day of Pentecost, you are in trouble with God. And these are some of the things that is implied. I am determined not to know or not to hear anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Verse 13. Is Christ divided? No.
Was Paul crucified for you?
You know, may I, brothers and sisters, what the man is saying here is that whatever you do, it must be in accordance with or bring glory to or be focused in the one who was crucified for you. You can't have it plainer than that. I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. The cross of Calvary tells us that God, that man can be saved one way. May I? In saving man, the Almighty God was not looking for the easy way or the hard way. I need to say that again and explain it. Man's salvation is tied up in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Not Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and some other thing. But it's all about Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. In that, it's not that the Almighty God said, look here, you know, let me send one of the persons in the Godhead because it is the most difficult way. Difficulty have nothing to do with it. Let you go, Christ, because it is the easy way. No, there is no easy way about it. That's not what drives God. What drives God is the holiness of God. That's what drives God, the holiness. What is in keeping with God's nature? And it's like the way man is going to be saved in Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is like, there is no other way. There was no other way. And it is for this reason we must not try to help God out. We must not try to bring something in Christianity. For example, may I? If the Almighty God gives us certain acts of worship, let us try not to add something to it to make it nicer, to make it more attractive. Whenever we do that, we are pile it up. That's right. You, when it comes to man's salvation, you cannot help God out. God has worked out everything in keeping with his righteousness, his holiness, and his justice. Man can do nothing to better it other than being obedient to God's will. Whatever we bring in, it's going to represent contamination. So when Paul says, for I am determined, when the Corinthians are bringing Paul's name, Apollos' name, Cephas or Peter's name, it is out of that consideration. He said, I am determined not to hear anything. I don't want to hear about Apollos or Peter or Paul. But Paul, stop there, no man. One group was honoring you to start a church after you. Paul knew that that would put them in trouble. And today, where you have various denominations, is named after this and after that, some of them named after they. That is a problem. When Paul says, "For I am determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified," these are some of the things that he's talking about. And if you don't you believe me, get back to chapter 1, verse 11, 12, and 13. Those were the news, the division that were going on at Corinth, using man-made sectarian names that were unauthorized to divide themselves. He didn't want to learn that about the church. Wait. It's never, in Christianity, it's never how it seems or appears to man. Always remember that. It's not how the thing seems or look to you or me. It's forever how it measure up with the word of God. And particularly the word of the gospel. There's quite a few more things, but I'm looking about wrapping up in a few minutes. What I wanted to do at this part in the lesson was to bring in some more things that men and women during the time of Paul brought into the picture. And those things would appear as if they complement the gospel and Christ and Christianity. But no, Jesus, brothers and sisters, the world waited for Jesus Christ. In fact, let me put that properly. God waited for the world to reach a certain stage in development to bring Jesus Christ into the world. Because all that God wanted to do for man in Christ, it had to be done at a particular time. And Jesus Christ made his first advent in this world a year before he did, it would have been out of place. When Christ born, the Bible calls it the fullness of time. It was God's time. Everything was in place for Christ to be born at that time. For man's salvation to be paid for and brought into play at that time. And it was well planned out by God. Don't try to give Jesus Christ supplement or complement. Man can and man will be saved but one way. The way of the cross, God's way. Using any man-made, unauthorized name or teaching or method is not the way of Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, the Almighty God, let me just run down quick. Jesus Christ declared that all the world was guilty before him. And even those of us who have accepted Christ and trying to be pleasing to him, we must remember that we stood guilty before God. That's why We run to Jesus Christ for forgiveness and for that guilt to be dealt with. Look at Romans chapter 3, 19 and 20. Or 19 through 22. Quick.
Now we know. That what things soever the law saith.
That whatsoever the law saith.
To them who are under the law.
It says it to them who are under the law. Watch it. Wait. You see, the passage didn't say that whatsoever the things the law said, it says to all men and women. It didn't say that. It is quite striking here that it specifies the people to whom the law speaks. But read on.
That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God.
Wait, the Almighty God had already, watch here now, in chapter 1 and chapter 2, shows the Gentile world that they were guilty before God. That is Romans chapter 1 and chapter 2. Now, he's saying to the Jews, No, you are guilty too. The law shows that you are guilty before God. Read on, brother.
Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight.
Everybody, in a passage like this passage you heard dozens and dozens of times. But does the meaning sink in? That by doing what the Ten Commandment law system says, you can never stand just before God. So when Paul says, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified, that include, don't bring the law in as part of your salvation. Because it can never meet your spiritual need. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. The word just and the word righteous is from the same Greek word. You can never stand as righteous before God, even if you were able to live perfectly by the Ten Commandments system. So Paul doesn't want to hear that either. Run me down to read another verse there, brother.
But
now the righteousness of God. Brother Mitchell, does that mean that God is righteous? No, that's not. That is not referring to the righteous nature of God. The righteousness of God, which the brother has just read there, is referring to the fact to the way God is going to make man righteous. Not God's righteous nature, but the way he's going to make us righteous. But the righteousness of God.
Without the law.
What?
Without the law.
What?
Without the law.
It does not include the law. No. And that's why Paul doesn't want you to bring it before him as part of your salvation either. The righteousness of God and the man take time off to tell us that the way God is going to make man righteous is without things, that without the Sabbath, without all those other things in the law. Without the law. Righteousness of God without the law.
Is manifest. Being witnessed by the law.
The law stand one side and see it, but the law is not a part of it. Uh-huh.
And the prophets.
We witness by the law and the prophet. But thank God he tell us that God's way of making man righteous is without the law. In Jesus Christ. Crucified, God served notice to humanity that outside of Jesus Christ and what he has brought, all effort to be righteous outside of Christ's plan is effort in futility. It will benefit you in no way. Wait. Brothers and sisters, men can put out a lot of religious effort. We can live in the church every day. We can do a lot of good work and still end up being lost, because we are not doing it Christ's way. Listen, Galatians chapter 2, verse 6 and verse 21. Verse 16.
Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law.
Now the brother had read this about justification, etc. in Romans. Now, the same thing is being said here now in the book of Galatians. Why Paul, writing to the various congregations of the Church of Christ scattered over Asia and Europe, why is he keep saying the same thing to them? Because they need to know. And you see, it comes back to, for I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He's telling, read, brother, chapter 6, verse 16 again.
Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law.
Justified means you are going to stand righteous and holy before God. The passage is telling us that cannot be accomplished by the law. The Sabbath was a part of the law.
Amen.
The 7-day Sabbath. So when he speaks about the law, it includes the Sabbath. What him say?
But by the faith of Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm,
even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law.
You see how he keeps showing the difference, the contrast? That was verse 16.
For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified.
Verse 21.
I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
You know what? I'm going to stop my lesson on that verse. If righteousness come by the law, if men could be made right in the sight of God by doing what the law says, there would be no need for Jesus Christ to suffer what he suffered at Calvary. That's what you see Paul is saying. Do little thinking, no? Christ died in vain. If righteousness came by the law, implying that no man was ever made righteous by that Old Testament system. That Old Testament system was meant only to keep a recognition of God upon earth, a sense of right and wrong, until Jesus Christ came into the world. I like the word he used, frustrate the grace of God. You are putting up obstacle, hindrance to the grace of God when you bring in anything else other than Christianity and Christ for yourself. Anything else. The Jewish religion, you bring it in and you are frustrating the grace of God. In fact, you know, brother, I like to give brother just one more passage, and that is chapter 5. Verse 4 or 4 or 5. Quick. Now you hold up the sermon.
To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the...
Galatians 5:4, I think.
Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law.
Everyone, brother and sister, with time gone. But do you understand what that says? Don't bring the law or anything about the law in your Christianity. Don't let a person come and tell you have to keep the Sabbath, because that the Bible says Jesus Christ can't benefit you when you hold on to the two things.
And you have
they do not work together. And the emphasis here, you know, is that God meant that Christ and Christianity alone to do the work. We are saved by Christ and Christianity alone. Christ don't need any help. Whenever you bring anything else in, you are depreciating Jesus Christ. You are saying Christ is not sufficient. You are saying Christ is inadequate. Whosoever of you is justified by the law, you are falling from grace.
Amen.
So God wants you to be focused on Christ and on what he has done at Calvary for you. And let nothing distract your mind from Christ, the teaching of the gospel, how you and I are to live, what we are to believe, what we are to preach. Nothing brought by angel or man or denomination should divert our attention from Jesus Christ and him crucified. Today, you can give your life to Jesus Christ Paul's way, and by Paul's way I mean the truth that Paul preached. You can become a Christian the way that you can have confidence that that is what Jesus Christ wants you to do. Right now, Jesus Christ is available, ready to forgive you for your sin if you meet his condition. And you know what? Those of us in the church, we are here to help you. If you have questions that need to be answered, we will sit and talk with you. If there are other things that weren't plain in the lesson, you want to sit and ask questions, we are available. We are encouraging you now to step forward as we stand and sing and give your life to Jesus Christ. If you are a backslider, Christ is calling you that this is the moment which he has given you. As we stand, Christ calls.